I'm Luke. I'm an addict. And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I arrived here through the auspice of a mighty God. I am very religious. But I won't preach today. When I got the call from the committee, I was recovering from a devastating illness. I had been bedridden for close to a month. And when she called, I said, I'm not sure I can do this, but if I'm walking, I'll come. Well, a few weeks later, I was walking. I walked in here tonight, this evening, and I'm glad about that. And I walked in here through a lot of prayers. And I'm talking about those kind of prayers where I'm screaming for God to come get me, because the pain is more than anything I've ever endured. And so once again, he showed up. He's continued to heal me. So I'm talking about that God who heals, who sets free, the author and the finisher of me. And I am so glad that I was introduced to NA, who introduced me to him. So I'm here and I'm glad to be here. And this is not what I signed up for. When I got here and I went down and signed up and I asked them, well, where is the room? And she said, it's the ballroom. And I said, well, what's the room number? She said, the room number is ballroom. So I came up and I found the ballroom, and they were in here working on the speakers. So I came over to the guy, said, can you put a partition across here and cut this room in half? He said, no, they don't partition the room off. And so I started to pray, and I said, God, whatever you do, don't let this room be full at 1:30 on Saturday. And when I get here, what, they overflow, they sitting everywhere. And I wanted to go first, but Janice called it, so I had to follow her in here, which is a task in itself. But let's talk about Luke, the making of an addict. I wasn't just smoking crack for a minute. I was a 30-year big hand dope fiend. I shoot narcotics in all parts of my body, and my favorite drug was heroin, but I just like drugs, period. If they had it, if they made it, if you told me that it worked, I used it. And I did that for a long, long time. And I didn't set out to be that. I came from a family where my father was actually a preacher, Reverend Luke. And Reverend Luke was married to several people other than my mom, because he believed in marriage, but he didn't believe in divorce. And what I remember of him, because he left when I was 5, what I remember was he always wore the white collar, and he would fight my mom dressed like a preacher. And I saw the anger. He was always so angry. And I saw the fights begin, but I never saw the finish of the fight. But when I would see her the next day, she seemed to be doing okay, and I didn't see him the next day. So I assumed that she was winning those fights. But he ran off after the last fight. I never saw him again. I was glad about that. But that meant she had to go to work. And so she left me with the lady who lived on the corner. And I didn't know it until I got here. But so much of my addiction was fueled by molestation. And so I was molested by the babysitter at 5. And I remember crying every day when she showed up. So the molestation, that was not the worst of it. The worst part was what she needed to do to me to keep me from crying, to keep me from telling. So she was brutal. She knew how to hurt me in ways that it didn't show. And she let me know that it would get worse if I continued to cry. So eventually I stopped crying. not going to say that I ever got used to it, that I ever liked it, but I did stop crying. I had a brother who was maybe 2 years older than me, and eventually when he came home from school, because I wasn't in school at five, but eventually she started with him too, and it gave me a little relief, but 3 or 4 weeks into it, I started to feel like he stole my woman. And to this very day, I haven't seen him in 30 years. He moved to Arizona. We rarely speak. I'm not going to tell you that. Yeah, I'm going to tell you I have a resentment against him all of these years later for stealing my woman when I was five, who was abusing me. And never knowing the cause of my problem. Look, I started sucking my thumb because she wouldn't feed me until it was time for my mom to come home. So I developed this thumb-sucking habit. My first drug was thumb, and it made everything all right. Everything all right. And I was athletic. As I grew, I could dribble a basketball with one hand and suck my thumb with the other. I made all my shots with one thumb in my... I was actually good with one hand. Now, my mom decided I was making my teeth buck and they wanted me to stop. So they took me to a doctor and he put this nasty glue on all, no, only on my thumb. He put it on that one thumb and I would suck and cry and suck and cry and bite until I got it all off. And when my mama got home in the evening, I'd be sitting there showing her that I got that thumb back in my mouth. And I had 9 other fingers that I never touched. I was developing the something that I didn't recognize even as a small child. The social worker, she came in, because I would try sometime and just sit and suck, and she said I was suffering from melancholy. Melancholy, meaning I was sad. I was a sad little boy. The only thing I had was that thumb. Until one day somebody said, try this, at 11. And I started with alcohol, didn't like it, but I kept trying until I got it right. A little girl came up to me at 11 and she said, you know, you'd be a nice looking little boy if you would just stop sucking your thumb. I never sucked it again. Somehow, women, girls, anything of the female persuasion had a power over me that I really never understood, but I know I was more willing to do and be, and shapes, I followed their shapes. Everything about the female, I mean, from the time of the molestation on, I was like enamored by females until I took that first drink. They no longer were so important. I picked up heroin at 18, and once I started oiling, they were less important. Once I started dealing, they were, and so a lot of it was so that I could be somewhere else other than enamored over females. And so I picked up at 18 in 1968, and it was like a 30-year trip, a 30-year tour. And I tried so many things. I wanted to stop long before I did, because I was run off with people's stuff, and you know, I wasn't a fighter or nothing like that. And man, I would work for folks, and they had nicknames. Everybody where I came from had a nickname: Hard Rock, Sluggo, Stone Brick. My nickname was Bird. And I would take their stuff, and then I would go to treatment because somebody was going to kill me. So I've been in treatment a lot of times. I was rehabilitated maybe 17 times. I tried all kinds of stuff. Nothing worked until I showed up in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. The little boy showed up here, still a little boy. I came to my first convention here in 1999, I've been up here 18 times since then, and 14 of them I came with someone different, a different female. Because once the drug was gone, females started to enamel me again. I could not, every one of y'all looked so good to me that I could not get enough. And every year I showed up here with a different female, didn't really go to many meetings. Some years I didn't leave with the same one I came with. The little boy was still here, even after some clean time, even after some step work, even after sponsoring some folks who sponsor some folks. I was out on the bay, sitting on the dock of the bay out there yesterday, and I met four young guys who I found out were sponsees of my sponsee's sponsee. So this thing, you know, even for somebody like me who was having fun, just funning his way through, I did eventually get around to doing some work that seems to be carrying on. It is so important that we sponsor others, that they sponsor others. I'm raising my 10-year-old daughter. She's a beautiful girl. She's smart. She's seen me go through all of these different girlfriends. And what I love about her, she can name every one of them. And she's never told another one about the other one. You know, she is, and I didn't tell her that she needed to. She just kept that to herself. She told me the other day, she said, "Daddy, you know what? It's always been me and you until my new wife. I've been married now 3 years. And I've been up here with her. This is the third year we've been up here together. And I don't cheat no more. I don't have eyes for nobody but her." And so my baby said, when we got married, she said, "Daddy, is it all right if I call this one Mama?" And I said, "Go ask her." She went and asked her. She said, "Yeah, it was okay." She calls her Mama. And she don't say it like stepmama. It's like, "That's my Mama." You know, they get along better than I ever would imagine she would get along with anybody. I doubt that she's ever even mentioned to my wife any of the other ones that has been. Because we here in Narcotics Anonymous, guess what? We tell the truth about ourselves. That's why so many of the marriages that I see here are so successful, it looks like to me, is because I know before I married her, I knew what steps she was working on. I knew how many relationships she had been in, because she shared just like I shared. I knew what she was going to do next about her life. I knew enough about her to know that I want that one right there. And so I walked right up one day and started talking to her. It's been a 3-year beautiful, beautiful marriage. It's easy to love somebody when they're healthy, when they're walking and talking, when they got all their facilities. But when I got sick, when I couldn't walk, when I couldn't go to the bathroom on my own, that's when I knew I got somebody special in my life today. Somebody who will wash you, clean you up. Somebody who don't care that the sex part of our life is on hold and I don't know how long. Somebody who will feed you. Somebody who will provide somebody to stay with you when they have to go back to work. Somebody who jumps every time I get an ache. Somebody who loves me and I can see it, not just because they say it, but I can see it in the actions that they took. I can see it in the way they care for me. So the little boy has some gratitude, finally, some gratitude that allows me to grow into manhood. I've suffered some pain that allows me to grow into manhood. I've been through some things that let me know that it's more to life than how many different ones I can get. I love the life I'm living. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love the fact that you introduced me to a God that is so powerful that I can always call on him when I can't find no one else that understands what I'm going through. No one else who understands what I'm talking about. I can call on him and he will answer my prayers. I learned that prayer is the most effective weapon that I have because it always works, even sometimes when I'm not sure that I want to pray because I want to do things my way. I learned to pray anyway. It is so good to be in here and to be finished with this because you don't know driving up here. Wow, it's like, you know, I should have said no. And when my wife shared yesterday, I was like, wow, I wish I could have done it on Friday so I could enjoy the rest of the weekend. When Janice called first, I was like, geez, I got to wait another half hour. But right now, as I'm winding this down, I'm so glad that I got this opportunity to do this. What I learned was that life is not promised. I was not going to celebrate my 19th anniversary because 19 is such an uneven number, so I was going to wait to celebrate 20. But when I got sick, I started to realize that 20 ain't promised. I better enjoy what I can do today. I'm going to celebrate 19 like it was 20. I'm going to enjoy what I'm doing right now, talking to you who are left in this room, because I may never get this opportunity again. And the next time that this happens, next year, it may be any one of you. And just so, be prepared. How do you prepare, Luke? Prepare by sharing. Go to a meeting. Raise your hand. Share honestly about where you are in your recovery. Share honestly about where you are in your sex life. What you want to do next. How many you want to do. Whatever it is you struggling with, share it. Share it honestly. Believe me, somebody here for you. Whatever your assets are, whatever your negative assets are, there's somebody here for you. Love happens in this fellowship. I can tell you many successful couples, and I can tell you some that didn't work out too, but that's just life. Life ain't promised. It ain't always going to be good, but I learn my most important lessons sometimes when I'm in the storm. So I don't have a lot more. I'm just glad that this is over with. I ain't kidding. If I had a room, you know, I just wanted a room. Let me get down in 215. And, you know, but when I came in here and saw all of this, man, it was just overwhelming. The beautiful thing is this bank of lights keeps me from seeing past this first row, first few sections here. So I can't even tell how many of y'all back there, and I can't see no faces. So that helps. If you ever get the opportunity to share the Narcotics meeting, anonymous meeting, even if it's at a convention, I suggest that you take it. I don't know if I'll get this opportunity again, but I know I'll be more comfortable the next time. I'll be better prepared the next time. I'll be more relaxed the next time. I'll be more thankful the next time. I appreciate that you all who have sat here, because you show some patience too. There's so much more to do here at this convention. So much more to do just today, that your time, your patience right now is direly appreciated by me. So that's all I got. I thank y'all for listening, and hallelujah.